Does anybody know that hallelujah is the highest praise? When the Lord has been good to you, you ought to every now and again give him a hallelujah praise. I know you don't always have to get overly excited about it, but every now and again you ought to give him a hallelujah praise. But you sure enough know that the Lord has done something for you. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Come on, Shabaka! The Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. God bless you, saints, and God keep you is indeed our prayer.
Hallelujah.
Let's give God a praise on for this choir. They blessed our souls this morning, as they always do. It's preaching time. We've prayed to the Lord, we've praised unto the Lord, and now it's time to preach about the Lord. Won't you stand to your feet and turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I want to start reading in verse number 28. Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. And the Bible, say amen, you've located the text. The Bible reads as follows in verse number 28 of Romans chapter 8. And we know that all things, somebody say all things, work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? Somebody say these things. If God is for us, who can be against us? And the verse number 37 says, yet in all things, somebody say all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word. Mid edify, mid sanctify the people of God. I would that you pray with me on the title of today's sermon, A Few of My Favorite Things. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that your words would not return void, but that they may accomplish that which you intended. I pray that minds would be illuminated today, that hearts would be encouraged today, that souls would be convicted today. I thank you, Lord, that you have brought us this far by faith, leaning on the everlasting arms. I thank you, Lord, for the praises that have been rendered already in this place. And now, dear Lord, through prayer, through praise, and now through preaching, we pray that you would manifest your glory in this place. And we shall be careful, Lord, to give you glory, praise, and honor. In the name of Jesus, our Christ and Redeemer, we do pray that all of God's children, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen. Amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Ushers, you may be seated as well. I want to start a short two-part sermon series dealing with Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome, and particularly looking at verse chapter number 8. Paul, so today we're going to talk about these three verses that I've outlined today, and then next week I'm going to look at the end of Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. And so on today I want to focus in and laser in on this Greek word things. And next week I'm going to focus in and laser in on the Greek word persuaded, and share with you how Paul brings together what I think is one of the most motivational chapters in all of the Bible, Romans chapter 8. And so today I'm going to focus in on three elements of this particular chapter, these particular words. First, I want to focus in on the words chapter, all of the three verses that I've read. I want to focus in on verse 28 and share with you, what does Paul say about things we ought to know or know about certain things? And if you look at the verse 28, 31, and 37, these trilogy of verses, put that screen back up. I want to share with you again his language. His language is important in this text. And so he says, we know that in all things. And then he says in verse number 31, what shall we say to these things? So we know something about all things. What do we say to these things? And then he ends, again, put the verse back up. He says in verse number 37, yet in all things we are more than conquerors. And so in this particular outline, this trilogy of verses, I want to keep this notion before you about Paul's statement about this Greek word and his use of this Greek word, things. I've said in sermons before that Paul has many hats. Paul is a great evangelist. We look at his missionary journeys in the book of Acts, and we see in the later part of Acts, first part of Acts is really written about Peter. The second part of Acts is really written about Paul. Paul's missionary journeys that we see in the end, the middle to the end of the book of Acts are captivating. They teach us about Paul's essential call in his ministry, that he really feels called to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to other places outside of Jerusalem. So Paul was a great evangelist. We see it on the first missionary journey, the second missionary journey, and the third missionary journey. Undoubtedly, Paul took other side journeys, but these three are often highlighted by theologians as Paul's great forays to carry the gospel to other places outside of Jerusalem. Paul took seriously the end of Jesus's commandment, the great commission, to go ye therefore into the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things. Paul understood the power of Acts 1:8 when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples with power and said, they shall be witnesses. Jesus said, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the earth. Paul understood, although Paul was not in the mix of the disciples in that upper room when the Holy Spirit burst in, Paul took seriously this mission to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to other places. Amen, somebody. And so Paul was a great evangelist. Paul was a great pastor. We see it in his building of churches and how he shepherded the leaders of those churches, whether it was in Rome, whether it was in Corinth, whether it was in Philippi, whether it was in Ephesus, whether it was in whether it was in Thessalonica, whether it was in any part of Asia Minor. Paul didn't just plant a church and keep rolling. Paul planted churches and he nurtured the church, and he kept to the church, and he wrote letters to the church. When he could not get there in person, Paul would write. So he wanted to keep connection and communication with the people of God. Paul was a great pastor. He wrote letters to Priscilla and Aquila, the founders of the church in Ephesus. Paul wrote letters to all of these leaders and said, thank you for helping me to carry the gospel, but also am concerned about what's going on in the church in Corinth. In point of fact, the first and second letters to the Christians in Corinth is all about Paul addressing issues in the Corinthian church and saying to them, I've heard that there are divisions among you. Let us settle and deal with some of those divisions. Paul was a great pastor. Paul was not just a great evangelist, a great pastor, but Paul was a great theologian. And if you look in the book of Romans, perhaps touted to be his greatest theological work, Paul writes about issues such as justification and predestination, the anchors of our faith. Paul writes to us about election and those who are among the called people of God. Paul writes to us about sanctification. Paul was a great theologian who authored nearly half of the New Testament books. 27 books, Paul wrote 13 of them. Paul was a great theologian. But the thing I've said, and I want to keep saying, among all these titles that Paul had, Paul was a great motivator. I believe that part of Paul's great gift was to motivate the people of God to be better than they are today on tomorrow. Paul wants the people of faith who call themselves believers in the Christos, the Christ, to say, no matter what happened yesterday, I am going to keep marching on upward to Zion. In point of fact, if you look at some of Paul's writings, Paul understood the nature of spiritual warfare. After all, Paul writes in Galatians, right, put on the whole armor of God. Charge your feet with the gospel of peace and put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation and pick up the sword that is your fighting utensil, the word of God. Paul understood that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are spiritual and mighty for the pulling down of stronghold. Paul understood that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and rulers of wickedness in darkness in high places. Come on, somebody. You all act like you're not in a spiritual fight. And the fact of the matter is, no matter how holy you think you are, how righteous you say you are, no matter how saved you believe you are, you're going to fight against some demons. In part of fact, you're going to be fighting against more demons the more you do for Jesus. So maybe I ought to qualify that. If you're not doing anything for Jesus, maybe you're not fighting against anything. But the more you fight for Jesus, the more fight is going to come up against you. And so Paul understood that part of the Christian journey is learning how to wage spiritual warfare. Not to beat folk up with your hands and to berate them with your mouth, but to know how to fight a spiritual fight, to say, I don't see it in the flesh, but I know there's something going on in the spirit. And so I'm going to call on the spiritual resources of heaven to help me in this fight. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask God to give me peace and love and joy and long-suffering and patience so that when I'm fighting the good fight of faith, I don't give up the fight. Paul helps us to understand that we fight against a spiritual warfare. We fight in a spiritual warfare. That's why Paul says, I've run my race, I've kept the faith, and now is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Paul understood what it meant to have one foot on earth and another foot looking towards heaven, one eye on earth and another eye looking towards heaven. Paul understood what it means to keep your eyes looking up to the hills from whence cometh your help, because all of your help comes from the Lord. Husband and wife are good. Grandmama and granddaddy are awesome. Mom and daddy are a blessing. But if you don't have anybody else, you better look to the Lord for your help. The preacher is all right. The deacons may be there sometimes. The deaconess may get around to it. But the Lord is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You better realize your help cometh from the Lord when you are fighting in this spiritual warfare. Paul motivates us, and Romans chapter 8 is a great motivating chapter. And in Romans chapter 8, there are three verses that stick out. One is Romans chapter 8, 28, when he says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purposes. All things. He didn't say good things and bad. He said all things. He didn't say small things and large things. He said all things. He didn't say things that smell good, things that are sour. All things. He didn't say things that look good, things that don't look. all things. He didn't say when you're rich or when you're poor, all things. He didn't say when you have a job and you don't have a job, all things. He didn't say when you're sick and when you're well, all things. Don't you know all things work together for good, for your good? I don't care what you're going through, all your things. I don't care how big it might look, all of your things. You need to make up in your mind that it's not the situation that matters, it's how you look at the situation. All things work together for my good. He goes on to say in verse number 31, he says, what shall I say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? I like the inclusivity of Paul's statement, but you ought to personalize that thing. You ought to say, if God be for me, who can be against me? Because the reality is, you're going to have some folk come up against you. Sometimes you expect it, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you're ready for it, sometimes you're not. Sometimes you got your armor on, sometimes you don't. But you need to understand, what shall we say to these things? If God is for me, then who can be against me? Because there's nobody bigger than God. Come on, somebody. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. There's nobody wider than God. There's nobody taller than God. There's nobody stronger than God. There's nobody mightier than God. So you need to understand, no matter how the situation looks, if God be for you, then he is more than the world against you, and the world is going to come against you. But if the world comes against you, understand you've got more on your side than they've got on their side. If God be for you, then he's more than the world against you. Paul motivating the people of God. And then he says in verse number 37, what yet in all things we are more than conquerors. My God, if those aren't fighting words, I don't know what are. In all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. The one who loved us is Jesus. Come on, somebody. God so loved us that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors. And so you need to identify not who they are, but who you are. We spend too much time looking at the enemy and not understanding who we are. We give too much power, too much attention, too much energy on negativity, as opposed to understand the power that God has put inside of you. You spend too much time doing what the 12 spies did in the book of Exodus. When God, Moses sent them out to spy the land, they came back, some of them, and said, they're giants in that land, and we're just grasshoppers in our own sight. Oh, but thank God for Joshua and Caleb, who said, I'm not a grasshopper. I'm not a little old insect. I'm a conqueror. Come on, Moses, we can take the land. I know what it looks like, but come on, Moses, we can do this thing. I know what it sounds like, but you ought not be afraid of what it looks like, what it sounds like, because if God be for you, he is more than the world against you. I am a conqueror. I can do this. I'm going to make it. I'm going to get over it. I'm going to get around it. I'm going to get through it. I don't know when. I don't know how. I don't know where. But I am a conqueror. I'm a conqueror. So Paul, I don't think there are few others. Few other more motivating scriptures in the Bible than these three. I can think of many others, but I love these three because these let me know that no matter what my circumstance is, it's all going to work out for my good. It lets me know that no matter what my enemies look like, I'm more than a conqueror. And it helps me to understand who I am and whose I am, because if they're against
me. I've got God for me. And so these three scriptures give me an essence and a sense to propel my Christian walk to say, I've got to go and keep going on and not give up this fight. Because at the front of what's unique about these three scriptures is the commonality that Paul centers on the Greek word ton, T-O-N, which is kind of the plural article of this, these things, right? Paul does not define what things are, but put the verses back up. Go look at verse number 28. 28 says, yet in all these things, right? And we know that all things work together. So I highlighted the word things to help it jump out at you to not miss the fact that Paul in verse number 28 says, yet, and then we know that all things, right? The things. Don't know what the things are. Don't know how to define the things. But all I know is that Paul has a lump of stuff that he calls things. Put verse number 20, 31 up. He comes back to this word things by saying, in what then shall we say to these things? Right? If God be for us, who can be against us? Then he uses the word things again in verse number 37. Right now you ought to be highlighting your Bible. You ought to be scratching. You ought to be circling it. Because every time you look at Romans 8, those three words ought to jump out at you. Because Paul uses, he's a great rhetorician. He's a great motivator. He uses these words in repetition for a reason. Because he says, I don't know how you're going to define things, and I'm not going to define things for you, because my things are not your things, and your things are not your neighbor's things. But all of us got some things. Come on, somebody. All of us got some things that we work with. All of us got some things that we're carrying. All of us got some things that we're dealing with. All of us got some things that we're battling. All of us got some things that are weighing heavy on our spirit. All of us got some things that we're trying to hold up and so they don't come crashing down. All of us got some things. We got some things in the choir, some things in the deacon's ministry, some things on the usher's ministry. We've got some things. We got some stuff going on in the church. We got some things going on in the community. Yet in all these things, I can't define things for you because my things are different than your things. But I thank God that no matter what the thing is, I think it's in one of the Dr. Seuss's, is it Dr. Seuss? I'm looking at Daniel and the Maris, but they're a little bit occupied right now. Listen, is it Dr. Seuss or is it one of these modern movies, Thing 1, Thing 2, and Thing 3? Is it Dr. Seuss? Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what you've got, but I've got a Thing 1, and I've got a Thing 2, and I've got a Thing 3. But the Bible says in all my things, I've got a Thing 4, I've got a Thing 5, I've got a Thing 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I got about 100 things that I'm dealing with. How about you? I don't know what your things look like. I don't know what your things sound like. I don't know what your things smell like. But I can tell you about my things. But I'm so glad today that I'm not preoccupied by my things. I'm preoccupied by the God who is bigger than my things. Does anybody know today that God is bigger than your things? Does anybody have assurance today that no matter how strong your things are, that God is stronger? No matter how mighty your things are, God is mightier. Things. I love the fact that Paul doesn't even define them. He simply uses them in the general. Things. And I like how he carefully and meticulously uses the word ordering. He says in verse number 28, yet I know. Put it back up. I want to keep going back to it. Yet I know. We know that all things. So Paul uses almost a cognitive mindset in this verse. He says, we know, right? He uses the mind, the psyche. He says, we know. And so there ought to be some things that you know. Right? You, at this point in your spiritual journey, I know some of you may be new Christians, to God be the glory, and some of you are veteran Christians, to God be the glory. But if you've been walking with Christ any length of time, you ought to be convinced. You ought to know something, right? That the old preachers where I grew up in Holy Light and in Los Angeles used to say, I know that I know that I know that I know. That means I don't need an algorithm to prove it. I don't need a hypothesis to state it. I don't need a postulate to give me evidence. All I need is what I know. And what I know is based on what I know. And so I know about what happened yesterday that informs what I know today. You're not getting the message, are you? And so I know that if the Lord brought me through yesterday, I know that He'll do it today. So I know some things. I know that He's a bridge over troubled waters. I know that He is a mountain mover. I know that He is a heavy load carrier. I know this for a fact. You don't have to prove it to me. I know this. Paul says in his cognitive mind, and we know that all things work together for good. So Paul uses the cognitive to state his point in verse number 28. In verse number 31, he shifts from the cognitive and he goes to another area of understanding. He says, what then shall we say? So now I'm not thinking about it. I know it. But now that I know it, I got to speak to the devil and say, devil, you're a liar. Some of y'all need to start speaking and stop just sitting and stop just looking. Go ahead and stand up. You know enough that God is able. So you ought to be able to say some things now. Devil, you're trying to destroy my marriage, but I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Devil, you're trying to kill my body. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Devil, you're trying to rob me of my joy. Get thee behind me. You need to tell the devil where he can go. Devil, go jump in a lake. Devil, go roll down the hill in some swine. Devil, get out of my way. Devil, leave me alone. Devil, get your hands off my children. Devil, get your hands off my church. Get your hands off my choir. Get your hands off my deacons. Get your hands off my deaconess. Devil, get thee. Is anybody speaking today? Go ahead and look the devil in the face and speak to the devil. You are a liar. What shall we say to these things? There's some stuff you got to start saying, y'all. Tell folk that you know what's going on. You don't have to even do about it. Just let them know that you know is enough for them to shut it down. I know what you're trying to do. I know what you said. I know what you did. I know how you're acting. I know what you're doing. I know how you're under. I know. And now I'm going to speak to it. Yeah, you need to speak to some things. Paul says, what shall we say? Go ahead, I give you freedom and liberty to speak to your demons and your things. Listen, when I was a kid, I used to follow behind my grandma. She used to get a broom and sweep the curb, make sure that her house looked tidy. Listen, no matter how the folk part of the curb looked, our curb looked all right. And I'd walk behind my grandma. I'm 2, 3, 4 years old. And grandma would every now and again stop. And she'd be speaking to herself. Just sweeping, speaking and sweeping. Speaking and sweeping. I didn't know it then, but it was somewhat of a metaphor. Speak and sweep. You're not getting the metaphor, are you? There's some things you got to speak to. And there's some things you got to sweep out of your way. There's some things you got to speak to. And other things just keep sweeping out of your way. I'm going to speak to the devil. I'm going to sweep the devil away. I'm going to speak to the devil. I'm going to sweep the devil out of my way. Some folk may have thought my grandmama was crazy, But if you don't know who you're talking to, you better go ahead and have a conversation with the Lord. I'd rather speak more to the Lord than to the devil. Every now and again, I let the devil know I peeped him out. I peeped her out. I know what you're doing. But I'm not going to spend all my time speaking to the devil. I'm going to spend more time speaking to God. And so I'm going to speak to these things. I pray healing over my marriage. I pray healing over my children. I pray deliverance over my situation. I pray a breakthrough over my family. I pray a covering over my house. I pray oil or anointing over my church. Come on, somebody. Speak. Speak. Speak, Lord. Speak. Brings me to my third point. Not only do I know, not only do I speak it, but Paul then goes into verse number 37 and simply says, put verse 37 up. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Paul now goes from what I know to who I am. See, you can know some things, but until you know who you are, come on, somebody, you're not anybody's doormat. You're not anybody to let them walk over you. Come on, sisters, stop putting up with the stuff that you're putting up with in these relationships where there is blatant disrespect. You're more than that, right? You're more than a conqueror. You are a child of the Most High God. You are somebody that God has died for you. He loves you that much that he hung on a cross for you. Come on, stop letting folks treat you any old way in your job. There's a song that says, if you don't be bought, you won't be sold. Too many of us are compromising in order to get something that we don't even need. Because you don't, if you knew who you are and whose you are, you would say, God will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. And so Paul says, you need to be reminded who you are. Who you are. You are more than you're not just a conqueror. Listen, it would be good just to be a conqueror, y'all. Right? I want to be a conqueror. I want to conquer some things. I want to conquer my fears. I want to conquer my anxieties. I want to conquer my past. I want to conquer my demons. I'm not talking about getting titles and getting money. All that stuff will come if I know who I am and whose I am. And so I want to conquer some things, but I want to be more than a conqueror. I don't want to just limit myself to just being the conqueror. I want to be more than a conqueror. And God is saying to those of us, too many of us let things get in our way. Listen, when we walked, we did the prayer vigil on the steps of the church last Thursday, May 1st. And I told Bobby Harris that he did a wonderful job of coordinating that. Give God a praise offering for that. And the people who prayed, Mother Nelson, Denise, Minister Evangelist Nelson, Minister Denise Scott, Minister Jane Weich, Minister Tracy Days, Reverend Holloway, others who prayed. Phenomenal, wonderful job. We had a great prayer session on the steps. Listen, a bus almost ran into the back of some sister who stopped her car in the middle of Reverend S.I. Woodson Way as we were singing and praising the Lord, in the, right, with the windows down. She said, what's going on over there? But after that, about 19 of us got in two vans and three cars and drove around Trenton. And as we drove, it's all right, Aaron. As we drove, we went to each of the 11 spots where the first 11 murders were in the city. And at each spot, we called the name of the young person who was murdered there. And we poured oil on the spots or in the area, the vicinity where the murder took place. And the statement was, God, blood was spilled here, but today we want to spill oil and reclaim that which the enemy tried to take. And in one spot on Hyle Street, Tracy Livingston, who was with us, one of our head nurse, said, Pastor, the mother of one of the young men who was killed, not on this street, but she lives on this street. So we knocked on her door. She and her husband came out, tears streaming down their face. This happens to be the parents of the young boy that was being funeralized at Galilee Baptist Church when the shooting broke out. And so it was that as we prayed with the mother and the father, tears streamed down their faces. And it was one thing for us to even have that powerful moment there in front of their home. Literally, the bishop of the Episcopal Church was with us, Bishop Stokes, who just came to New Jersey, and pastors, Presbyterian pastors were with us from Princeton, and local clergy, Pastor Sanders and others were with us as we prayed at each of the 11 spots. It was a powerful moment. And then when we went to the place where the mother and father's son, for whom we prayed in front of their home, when we went to the spot on the other side of Trenton, East Trenton, where the in front of the liquor store where her son was murdered, lo and behold, who did we see getting out the car to come stand in the spot where her son had been murdered? The young woman whom we had prayed for just on the other side of town said, not only do I thank you for praying with me and for me, but I'm going to come now to the very spot where my son was murdered, and I'm going to hold your hand and I'm going to pray with you, because I believe, she didn't say these words, but her actions spoke, I believe that I am more than a conqueror. I'm going to conquer the very thing that is trying to debilitate me. The devil has tried to kill me by robbing me of my son, but I'm going to go into the very space where the devil killed my son, and I'm going to say, to God be the glory, for I am more than a conqueror. Somebody ought to give God praise just for that, that this sister had enough strength in the Lord to say, I am more than a conqueror. I'm not going to let you get the best of me. I'm not going to let you rob me of my joy. I am more than a conqueror. As I thought about that thing, my God, somebody's things are bigger than others. I have not had a child murdered, my God, but I want to believe that if I were in the shoes of that mother and that father, would I be lifting up my hands and giving God glory in the midst of my tears and in the midst of my sadness? And I thank God for the witness that I got that day, that I was a part of a small number of saints that saw in the flesh of what it means to conquer your things in your life. Listen, few of our things are bigger than a murdered child. But even when your child is murdered and you've got the audacity to still say, yet in all these things, I am more than a conqueror. All these things work together for my good. Yet in all these things, God is bigger. Because if God is for me, he is more than the world against me. I looked at that and I said, my God, I thank you. And so I thought about what Paul is referencing when he says these things. He actually doesn't list any definition, as I said, but in some of the verses, he gives us clues. Go to the verses after verse 37. He says in earlier in 18, he says, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And so maybe Paul is using things to talk about my sufferings. Maybe that's one clue. Go to the next verse. The next one says, the creation will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's also in Romans chapter 8. And so maybe if it's not my sufferings, it's the corruption that I'm being exposed to. Come on, someone. And then he gives us another clue. He goes on to say in the next verse, in 26, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for, but the Holy Spirit himself makes intercession for us. And so I don't know what your things are. Maybe your things are sufferings. Maybe your things are corruption. Maybe your things are weaknesses. But Paul does not care how you define your things. But Paul is more concerned about the one who is bigger than your things. And so the few of my favorite things, I've got three. And I'm not going to refer to them as things because they're persons. I've got God the Creator, God the Redeemer, and God the Holy Ghost. Because if I've got those three on my side, then I don't care what things you are dealing with. You need to stand on the promises of God that says, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I know in the end, God is going to get some glory and God is going to be magnified. I don't know how these things are going to get away from me, but all I can say that in all of these things, I am more than a conqueror. So I don't know about you, but I just came by on the 4th of May in 2014 to let somebody who's dealing with some things understand that when you look at Romans chapter 8, you ought to get excited about how Paul talks about your things. And because he talks about your things, you ought to look at your things in a different kind of way. And not only should you look at your things in a different kind of way, you ought to look at yourself in a different kind of way. I am a member of a royal priesthood. I am a member of a holy nation. I am a member of a chosen generation. I've got blood spilled all over me. I am a child of the King. I am a conqueror. Does anybody understand what it means to conquer? Do I have any conquerors here today? Has anybody gotten through something? Has anybody gotten over something? Has anybody gotten around something? Has anybody been brought out of something? Has anybody been brought through something? Come on, some. I am more than a conqueror. Paul concludes. Actually, I'm not going to give you the conclusion just yet. I'm going to give that to you next week. But I want to stop here to simply say these three verses are verses that help you and me deal with the things that we are dealing with in our lives. And I'm so grateful today because there's some heavy stuff and things that people have told me that they are dealing with. I've listened to broken relationships. I've listened to folk who've used people. I've listened to folk who've stabbed folk in the back. I've listened to folk who have undermined people. I've listened to folk who have smiled in folks' faces and done one thing behind their back. I've listened to folk who said somebody told them they loved them only to just slap them literally and physically and spiritually. I've listened to a bunch of your things. But if I can say anything to you today, let the Lord speak to you about your things. And Paul uses these three scriptures very intentionally to let us know God is bigger than your things. Somebody give God a praise offering in this place today. Everyone standing to their feet. Deacons and deaconess, clergy. I invite you to let the Lord speak to your heart today. I simply believe that the Lord is bigger than your thing. So as
we get ready for the invitation. If you don't know the Lord Jesus for yourself, I want to invite you to let God have His way in your life. You need to make a decision. Do you know? Do you want to know? And if you want to know who He is and what He can do, then you've got to make the decision to submit and surrender. And that's what this invitation is about today. You can submit and surrender to the Lord. Number two, if you already know Jesus for yourself, I invite you then to come. And you don't have a church home, I invite you to come prayerfully consider uniting with us here at the Shiloh Baptist Church. Not a perfect church. Never will you find one on earth. But I do believe that this church loves the Lord and we love His word. And we invite you to come today. To come, give us your hand and give God your heart. If you want special prayer, the deacons and the deaconess and clergy are there all around the church to just pray with someone. And this is not a bad time just to step in the aisle, grab somebody's hand. If you got something extra ordinary that you're dealing with, I want you to step out and say, I just want to pray. I just want you to pray with me, for me. I want to pray. And so let these invitations be extended. And go ahead and sing choir. And as the choir sings, these three invitations are extended to someone.